When the bell rings and the organ comes in the key of C, you're in tune. Not that you're not before, but let's pass God's harmony and good friendship and peace with each other as we greet each other this morning. Everyone must have remembered that we fall back in the fall, but you're looking pretty good here. And you're healing up pretty well, huh?
Thanks for the prayers,
yeah. Well, you're the one that started that prayer team. Yeah. And Dave is coming along, too. But that'd be your great-great-grandson, is that right? Or your great-grandson, William?
Oh, yeah.
He's the one that had surgery. Yeah. I forget, I mean... 10 years old, and that's not the first time he's had surgeries. Over in Wilmar. To do it, yeah, but they live in Wilmar. What's his last name there? Okay. William Neese. And you have what? A couple great-grandchildren, right? Is that right? Two, yeah. Other joys, concerns? Doing all right? Nobody stayed up to watch the ending of the World Series last night. You did? I gave up. And in the 10th inning, I said, that's enough. This thing's going to go on all night, but I guess it ended in the 11th, huh? And I guess if you're a Blue Jays fan, which came first, the Plato Blue Jays or the Toronto Blue Jays? Plato, probably, right? So I guess I have mixed feelings about stealing the name of the Blue Jays, but... What? Oh, town I grew up in, South Dakota, was the Blue Birds. We were the Blue Birds. So were you upset then? You're doing all right? Yeah, I didn't find out till this morning how it turned out, so. Other concerns, Joyce? Well, let's have communion this morning. Remember, Dave is coming along, and he's got help at home, but his Achilles tendon is hopefully healing, right? I felt a little foolish with my big toenail, so forget about that. I'm doing pretty well with that. So let's... read responsibly our call to worship that's drawn from a couple of our texts this morning, recommended ones. How we cry out to God for the help we need. How will we know we have been heard? God stands with us through life's trials and temptation. God sends visits of new possibilities. Here we stand, watch for God's appearing. Together we seek a presence and aspire after truth. Surely God is in this place and will give us understanding. God is recalling us to the values we have neglected. God's righteousness is everlasting, and God's law is truth. Listen to all God would teach us. Hear the word of God. We seek to grow in faith and in love for one another. We would learn to do good and to work for justice. And so we pray together, saying, all around us we see trouble and wrongdoing. Our world is consumed by violence and destruction. Even in your church, O God, our strife and contention. The iniquity of this generation hangs heavy upon us. We cannot worship you apart from the turmoil that lies so close at hand. So listen to us, God of all people. Hear our longing for a new day in which your reign of love is established among us. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn at this point. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling, O sinner, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See, on the portals he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Come home, come home, ye who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you, come home. Why should we tarry when Jesus is pleading, pleading for you and for me? Why should we linger and heed not his mercies, mercies for you and for me? Come home, come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Oh, for the wonderful love he has promised, promised for you and for me. And though we have sinned, he mercy and pardon, pardon for you and for me. Come home, come home, you who are weary, come home. Earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, oh sinner, come home. Come home earnestly, tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling. Especially on this day of communion, is it necessary to pray a prayer of confession? Here is one listed here. But most importantly, keep in mind that the Spirit prays with us and for us with sighs too deep for words. But together we say, all-knowing God, we confess our participation in the hatred and evil that is consuming this planet. We gladly accept for ourselves the power and advantages that come our way. We seldom consider the cost to others of our prosperity. We tolerate poverty, hunger, homelessness for people we do not know. We think our small efforts too insignificant to make a difference. Wash away, O God, the evil that paralyzes us, that we may become rescuers of the oppressed and seekers after justice. Create in us a right spirit that prompts us to live by faith and to dare great things for you. Amen. And know that as we come together in prayer, and even as we admit our shortcomings, missing the mark, we know that God is with us to guide us, put us on the path to justice and peace. So praise God and know that our sins are forgiven. Amen.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. This is evidence of the righteous judgment of God and is intended to make you worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are also suffering. For it is indeed just of God to repay with affliction those who afflict you and to give relief to the afflicted as well as to us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in a fiery flame, inflicting vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These will suffer the punishment of eternal destruction, separated from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might, when he comes to be glorified by his saints and to be marveled at on that day among all who have believed, because our testimony to you was believed. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. A reading from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 19. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. Now a man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was a rich man. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree so that he would be better able to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and he said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry down and come, for I must stay at your house today." So Zacchaeus hurried down and was happy to welcome Jesus. All who saw it began to grumble and said to one another, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay them back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a child of Abraham and Sarah. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." Here ends the word of the Lord this morning.
This took place in Jericho. I want to read you a paragraph from Barclay's commentary on this gospel about that region. Barclay says that Jericho was a very wealthy and a very important town. It lay in the Jordan Valley and commanded both the approach to Jerusalem and the crossing of the river, which gave access to the lands east of the Jordan. It had a great palm forest and a world-famous balsam groves, which perfumed the air for miles around. Its gardens of roses were known far and wide, and people called it the City of Palms. Josephus, that was a historian at that time who wrote much about the culture and times of when Jesus lived. Josephus called it, quote, "a divine religion and the fattest in Palestine." The Romans carried its dates and balsam to worldwide trade and fame. That's the world as they knew it at that time. All this combined to make Jericho one of the greatest taxation centers in Palestine. And even though we, in our a little song about the wee little man, Zacchaeus, who climbed the tree, he was very large in stature and right up there, called the chief of tax collectors in this very important and wealthy region. But I know we've probably heard this story maybe dozens of times, maybe hundreds. I know I've probably heard it dozens of times anyway, and preached on it a couple. But I'm always uncovering questions that remain unanswered. For instance, how well did Jesus already know Zacchaeus? Or Zacchaeus, however you want to pronounce it. Commentators think that maybe they had some knowledge of each other. Read something from the Bible here about tax collectors from the Gospel of Luke, 5th chapter, verses 27 through 32. You probably heard this story too. Jesus went out and saw a tax collector named Levi sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. And Levi gave a great banquet for him in his house, and there was a large crowd of tax collectors and others sitting at the table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes now were complaining to his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" Jesus answered, "Those who are well have no need for a physician, but those who are sick I have come to call. And I've come to call not on the righteous, but sinners to repentance." At a large collection, Jesus appeared of tax collectors. And some say he was probably there, Zacchaeus. And maybe they already knew each other. And first thing that hit me was Jesus says right away, up in the tree, "You come down from that tree." And I remember, I love the part for the song where a wee little man, and he looked up and he said, "Jesus, Zacchaeus, you come down from that tree." The old German in me rises up. And is he being disrespectful then to invite himself to Zacchaeus' house? "I must go to your house today." Don't know. I like to think that Jesus knew what he was doing and knew him already, and they had to build on their relationship, perhaps. And one other question was, just how rich was Zacchaeus? And how did apparently he become so willing to make things right? "I will give half of what I have to the poor. And if I've wronged anyone, I will repay them four times," which was more than required, even though if the tax collector did and he was caught or charged. But tax collectors were known to take more than they were supposed to, and even encouraged sometimes to pocket a little more in their pockets for themselves, for doing a self-assessment and claiming they did a good job. Those questions remain. But let's look at Zacchaeus a little bit. He was rich, very rich, and he was probably lonely. So this idea of having to get away from the crowd, climbing up a sycamore, or maybe a more like a palm or some kind of a fig tree, fruit tree. It's a little unclear about that. Just to have a glimpse, he probably was seeking a place of refuge to get away from the crowd, for if the news got out that the chief of the tax collectors was here, they were bound to at least harass him, maybe get in a scuffle. So Zacchaeus even took a risk being there today, that day, to even be there. But here comes that one thing, as it appeared in the Luke story and about Levi. For certain, somebody was upset then when they saw him go off, especially Jesus, this great teacher, this holy man. Some thought perhaps the Messiah. He's going to that house? Why? And now the crowd began to grumble amongst them. "Look who's going to his house." Most importantly, the question to ask is, why is this particular story in our Bibles? Why is it here? What do we get out of it? Well, it tells us at the end of the parable that the Son of Man, or sometimes translated the human one, why has Jesus come to, well, he answers it, the writer of Luke, quoting Jesus to say, I have come to blank and blank, the lost, two S words. I have come to seek and save the lost, right? The lost. Was Zacchaeus lost? Probably a better translation of the word, rather than lost, is misplaced, aimless. We have that in our UCC statement of faith, that the Spirit comes to save us from aimlessness, wandering around with no purpose, off the track, wondering where we should be, where we should do. I want to share a little story with you. It's one of my favorite stories. And as I read it this week, I became, it's not a beautiful story, but it's so well written. I first heard it as a song about, maybe 40 years ago, written by one of my friends. Not a personal friend, but I feel like I know him. Yeah, you guessed it. Bob Dylan. The Ballad of Frankie Lee and Judas Priest. Ever heard of it? Anybody? Well, Frankie Lee and Judas Priest, they were the best of friends. And when Frankie needed money one day, he quickly pulled out a roll of tens. He placed them on a footstool just above the plotted plane, and he said, take your pick, Frankie boy. My loss will be your gain. Well, Frankie Lee, he sat right down and put his fingers to his chin. But with the cold eyes of Judas on him, his head began to spin. Could you please not stare at me like that, Frankie said. It's just my foolish pride. You know, sometimes a man must be alone, but this is no place to hide. But Judas, he just winked and said, all right, I'll leave you here. But you better hurry up and choose which of those bills you want before they all disappear. I'm going to start my picking right now. Just tell me where you'll be, said Frankie Lee. Judas pointed down the road and said, eternity. Eternity, said Frankie Lee with a voice as cold as ice. That's right, said Judas Priest, eternity, although you might call it paradise. I don't call it anything, said Frankie Lee with a smile. All right, said Judas Priest. I'll see you after a while. Well, Frankie Lee, he sat back down, feeling low and mean, when just then a passing stranger burst upon the scene, saying, are you Frankie Lee, the gambler, whose father is deceased? Well, if you are, there's a fella calling you down the road, and they say his name is Priest. Oh, yes, he is my friend, said Frankie Lee in fright. I do recall him very well. In fact, he just left my sight. Yes, that's the one, said the stranger, as quiet as a mouse. Well, my message is he's down the road, stranded in a house. Well, Frankie Lee, he panicked. He dropped everything and ran until he came up to the spot where Judas Priest did stand. What kind of house is this, he said, where I have come to roam? It's not a house, said Judas Priest. It's not a house. It's a home. Well, Frankie Lee trembled. He soon lost all control over everything which he had made while the mission bells did toll. And he just stood there staring at that house as bright as any sun. with 24 windows and a woman's face in every one. Well, up the stairs ran Frankie Lee with soulful bounding leap, and foaming at the mouth he began to make his midnight creep. For 16 days and 16 nights he raved, but on the 17th he burst into the arms of Judas Priest, which is where he died of thirst. No one tried to say a thing when they took him out in jest, except, of course, the little neighbor boy who carried him to rest. And he just walked along alone with his guilt so well concealed and muttered underneath his breath, "Nothing is revealed." Well, the moral of this story, the moral of this song, is simply that one should never be where one does not belong. So when you see your neighbor carrying something, help him with his load, and don't go mistaking paradise for that home across the road. Who is our neighbor? Why is this story in our Bibles? Who's lost? Who's found? Aren't we all a little bit aimless? Lose sense of direction at times anyway? We speak of finding Jesus, asking him to come into our hearts, well and good. Can we see Jesus in other hearts? And can we seek Jesus? I was watching C-SPAN. I know nobody watches that here, I don't think. Maybe somebody do. Maybe you don't even get the channel, but it's about what goes on in our government from all sides. And the chaplain was giving a prayer, and I don't know if it's for the Senate or probably the House of Representatives. I don't know, but I just caught a glimpse, and the prayer went something like this. Couple lines just jumped out to me. We pray that we might not forget the lost, the last, and the least. The lost, the last, and the least. I've talked a little bit about the lost, but I wondered about the last. Have you ever felt like the last? What comes to mind, I go back to trips South Dakota when we used to get up a game and play in the pasture of Irv Mog. There'd be about, well, maybe a dozen to 18 young boys like myself. And we would choose up sides. Sound familiar? And each one was appointed the picker of who was going to be on his side. And we may have had a girl, I think Mary Lou, come and played with us too. But the first pick, then the other side to pick. And sometimes there'd be one, well, always there'd be one who was chosen last. The one that you didn't really want on your team. I didn't feel much at the time, but just that's the way it is. But now that I've grown up a little bit, I feel sorry for the last. And what might that last one have for us to learn? Whose side are we on? But even more importantly, who's the last? And who's the least? Maybe you read the newsletter, maybe you didn't, I don't know. But I build on this passage of Scripture. Matthew 25 talks about the last and the lost and the least, ones who are naked, ones that are hungry, And Jesus is telling his disciples, thank you. Jesus says, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you took care of me. I was in prison and you visited me. And the disciples are going, what? When was this? And then he says things to the effect of answer to each of those statements that Jesus made. I was there. I was that one that you helped. Meaning, of course, that the Holy Spirit is within us all. And sometimes we forget, I know I do, I forget to say to you, thank you. And I hope you don't see me as one of those pastors. I've heard this before. I said, I better go to church. They're going to tell me what I'm doing wrong again. I hope you don't think of me that way, because when I pray a prayer of confession, I'm there too. But can we see Jesus in all those times? I hope so. And especially around this table, as we're soon together, we see each other as brothers and sisters in the Lord, giving and taking like anyone else. Apostles' Creed, we go all the way back to the inside cover of our hymnal, about 390. We say together that I believe in God Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Universal Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So you'll be invited up to participate in this feast as we sing this song about breaking bread together. Let us break bread together on our knees. Let us break bread together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us drink the cup together on our knees. Let us drink the cup together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy on me. Let us praise God together on our knees. Let us praise God together on our knees. When I fall on my knees with my face to the rising sun, oh Lord, have mercy. Oh God, as we take this bread, we break it. As we drink this cup, we remember all those in the past somehow who have gone ahead of us and have seen in this moment of worship how you ate and drank with us. No matter what our name, whether we're rich or poor, hungry, thirsty. For you said, blessed are the poor. Blessed are those who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And even though we eat but a little bit and drink a little bit, it's your body, it's your blood, part of us as we are part of you. And we humbly thank you for what you did on the cross in front of those that didn't know what they were doing. We humbly pray and give you thanks for helping us not to understand so much, but to simply follow you, to eat and drink, to help others eat and help others drink, and to know that in your brokenness, you identify with us, and in your healing, so are we healed. We are the body of Christ. And the cup of forgiveness shed for the remission of our sins, we say. That we will be with him in all in our fullness on that great day. So we eat and we drink together, giving thanks. Come, everything's ready. Go in peace. Serve the Lord. Body of Christ. body of Christ. Body of Christ. Body of Christ. Go in peace and serve the Lord. Join me in the prayer of thanksgiving from printed in your bulletin. Here it says, we say that the bread has been broken, the cup has been poured, the meal has been shared. Gracious God, we give thanks for bread, for the journey, for the wisdom guiding us along the way. May there be friends to share the road as we dare to dream of creation renewed, and hope in the promise of justice for all. Amen. Our prayer hymn is 78. Let's turn and we'll sing one stanza of that. And then we pray. And then we sing a stanza again. I love you, Lord. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul. Rejoice, take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Sometimes, God, it seems like things keep, like a storm keeps gathering around the world. Floods, and gosh, we think about the Dominican Republic, Haiti, Jamaica, all those places. War-torn places. Saudi Arabia. Mass killings. Genocide. The Middle East. One boiling kettle. Wherever we go around the world, many voices are saying, I can fix this, or we can fix this, or it's fixable, and we'd like to believe that. And I sure do. But I reach out for your love and compassion. And your compassion for justice and fairness and equalness, for kindness, that things get done in a loving way as we cherish all life, two-legged, four-legged, ones that crawl, ones that swim, ones that fly, ones that live in the ocean, ones we've never met. May our air be pure and our waters clear and clean. and our food healthy. May we grow in strength and in courage as we age, knowing, of course, that we, as we know it, don't live forever individually, but yet there's a place waiting for us, we pray, where we can see those who have gone on before, and we think of them even now, and hopefully with gratitude that they walked the road of peace and showed us the way. And we give thanks for them and for you and for Jesus, of course. We think of how unfair it must be, like William, just born with corrections to be made, but yet what a loving spirit, I'm sure. Help us to learn from others, no matter how old they are. And especially if they're different from us in some way. So hear us as we pray the prayer that you taught us to pray together as we say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I love you, Lord, and I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, O my soul, rejoice. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. May it be a sweet, sweet sound in your ear. Let's stand and sing Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, from whom all blessings flow. Praise God, all creatures here below. Praise God above, you heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Pray with me, God. People to say to God, seeking God, all that we have is yours. All your children are our brothers and sisters. We are all inheritors of your grace, for you have blessed us abundantly. Now bless what we have been moved to share, that our love for one another may increase. Amen. I give thee but to thine home, whatever the gifts may be. All that I have is yours alone, I trust, O Lord, from thee. Amen. More love to thee we sing. I think we have time to do all three. More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou the prayer I make on bended knee. Thereof to honest to thee, all out of earnest plea. More love to to thee. All up to thee. Once earthly joy I crave, sought peace and rest. Now thee alone I seek, give me his best. This all my prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. Then shall my latest breath whisper thy praise. This be the parting cry my heart shall raise. This still its prayer shall be, more love, O Christ, to thee, more love to thee, more love to thee. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.